Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Chat. It's another full house tonight. We have all of our co-hosts here, and we're so excited to dive into some hot topics. It's been a while. But anyway, before we get into everything, let's check in on our co-host. Dee, how are you?
Building bald and beautiful, baby. Bald and beautiful.
Wonderful. Lovely. Chaz, what about you, darling? How are you?
Well, if she's bold and beautiful, and I'm young and restless.
Emphasis on the young, right?
Yeah.
You're the hair toss. Yeah.
I don't have no hair. I would, but I don't have no hair. So.
Well,
ain't nothing up there.
Well, good. You joined, you know, two other podcast hosts who the hair is on the way out or it's already gone. So, and then Rodrigo, let's go to you. How you doing?
How you doing, Casey? I'm all in my quarter feels right now.
Ah, yes, man.
Bucking is back on the Bold and the Beautiful, baby. Thank you, Brad. Thank you.
You see, y'all always do Brad wrong. I tell y'all all the time. Every time y'all start dragging him, he come through with the
set. He comes through with some shit, and I'm backing it. You just drag me back in, Brad.
Don't get me wrong. Thank you. CBS threatened him. Thank you.
He
does this every sweeps. Why do y'all not pay attention? Every damn sweeps, he comes and he brings some shit that just makes you go, what? He does it without fail. I've been saying this for a whole year now. Bye. I'm going to quit messing with y'all.
I'm ready for B&B to be good for its 3-month intervals.
So. Oh, okay.
Quinn said, bump that dusty old hoe. I want to give you a nice piece of chocolate. Go ahead, Quinn.
Quinn got that good dark meat, man.
Yes.
You guys are going to make me lose track of who I've introduced already.
That's why Sheila said COVID didn't hit hard, baby. I'm tired of these breadsticks. I want Eric back. Shit.
God. Higgs, how are you, dear? What's going on?
I'm doing well. Very well rested. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What is wrong with y'all?
Always lovely Alan. How are you, dear?
I'm not ugly. I mean, I'm not.
Lord, girl, I didn't even call you.
Damn.
I didn't even hold on to that shit for about 3-4 months. I am not ugly, bitch.
Like, oh. Alan chose violence from the start.
So did
damn. Just choose that violence, Alan. You know what violence? You tell him what's up, Alan.
Always. Always the violence.
I said lovely. Where did you get ugly from, Lord?
I wasn't going to say I'm not lovely, but I accidentally complimented myself. I'm sorry for that.
It wasn't an accident, Alan. Claim your shit, okay?
Lord. Anyway, before we get into everything, we recently celebrated our 2-year anniversary. So shout out to everybody here who makes the podcast what it is. Especially shout out to Tiggs, who was my very first co-host. It's been a joy to talk soaps with you for the past 2 years. It's been a lot of fun. So thank you so much, guys, for putting up with me for the past 2 years.
Are you okay sometimes?
Oh, thanks.
You're adequate.
Adequate, yes. So anyway, let's just get into what we have done best for these past 2 years, and that is talk the hot topics of daytime. So first off, let's talk about Nancy Lee Grahn. Alan certainly wanted this to be a topic on the show tonight, and I felt that he did right by his co-hosting duty to make it one. So Nancy Lee Grahn recently had some thoughts to share on Twitter about vaccines and how everything is rolling out there. And she had something to say that was quite interesting, which she thinks that all people who don't want the vaccine should be sent to India. So Alan, we'll go to you first. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, her foot must taste so fucking good because it stays in her fucking mouth slobbering all over it. Seriously, 20 million cases of COVID in India, according to PBS NewsHour, and she says send them to India. I get that her intent was they learned empathy by seeing all these people suffering, bodies being burned to the street. But it just sounds terrible to say that. and it sounds racist, and it's just not cute.
Yeah. Dee, let's go to you on this. I know you took to Twitter to defend Nancy, saying that you understood where she was coming from. So what are your thoughts on this?
First off, fuck all of y'all, okay? Because I already know how this shit is going to go. I'm going to be the only one defending her. So I'm just saying fuck you ahead of time. Like, I'm being preemptive with that. So all I'm saying is, it would have been better if she said send him to Indiana or any other place. I don't think she was being racist. I honestly don't. I'll be the first one to call her out when she says stupid shit. But in this case, I think she's saying, because it's in the news. I mean, like, India is a place. If you go there, if you see it, and I'm saying this, and you know I'm coming from a place where I have two people in my family that died from fucking COVID, and I know what the hell she was talking about. If you are in there, if you are in that ward, if you are looking at it, if you're watching the people that you love on ventilators, it changes your whole fucking mindset. I see strangers, huge, tall, big old, chunky men. I live in Texas, men with guns, and I tell them, pull up your fucking mask. Why? Because I've seen it happen. Now, her intent, I get what her intent was, and I get that there are some people out there that no matter what she says, they're going to automatically go to the negative. I know what she meant. I love that she actually went on Twitter and clarified. I love that I sent my friend to go ask her, but, you know, it is what it is. You know, she... I'll just automatically assume that she automatically just pulling a fucking Nancy because that one damn thing with Viola, which she was completely out of line for, and I dragged her ass for filth on. But I'm just saying, in this case, I think she would have said the same thing. Hell, she could have said Florida. She should have said Florida because that would have had more resonance, you know, or whatever. But I think people automatically assume because she said India, she was being fucking racist. I think she was picking the place where COVID was the fucking worst. And that's where she went to. And I think she was looking at it from an empathetical statement. I think she wasn't looking at it like, oh, I'm this white lady. Let me go say this thing and I'm going to go pick a place with some brown people up off in it. But of course, I would say roughly 52% of Twitter, that's immediately where they went. But the people that know her, that have actually met her, that have had some real wild-ass conversations with her during her fan events, know exactly what she was saying. So let me shut up and let the rest of y'all drag her. Go ahead and go. Bye.
Well, so Dee, you brought up what Soap Jen said, hopping in her mentions, which, by the way, hello, Soap Jen. So anyway, Soap Jen did say, I love you, but the country of India is in a dumping ground for bad people. A lot of folks are suffering. Nancy, of course, replied to that tweet and said, ah, Jen, clearly know that. That was, in fact, my point. Having such selfish people see up close and personal people dying in the street from COVID, who would covet a vaccine? Any human is anguished by the suffering in India, and sarcasm is a way of coping with rage about all of it. So Jen, of course, just said thanks for replying. With that being said, Tiggs, let's go to you. What are your thoughts on this?
My thoughts is, like, I didn't think she was being racist either. Like, I'm not the woke police, like, because I've had some very unsavory thoughts myself about these fucking anti-vaxxers out here. So, I mean, I didn't think she was just going out of her way to be out of order, you know, but it's just when you're a public figure, you got to kind of watch what you say and make sure you clarify, because the woke police is going to be on your ass. We see a lot of people that stay on their soapbox on soap Twitter that's looking for any reason to come at anybody when it's in regard to somebody of color or persons of color. We've seen it, and it's like, calm down, girl. Not naming names. But, you know, I didn't think Nancy was being malicious or anything like that. I'm happy she clarified. I didn't think it was her intent anyway, but I'm glad she did clarify. But like Dee Dee said, like, Nancy could have put a diagram up, goddammit, via an Instagram Live, and people still would have been like, oh, fuck you, I hope Alexa dies in Pettenville, bitch. So, you know, it's like, whatever.
So, that is accurate, though. That is accurate.
You know, they probably got everybody lined up, from Ellen Dolan, Hillary B. Smith, goddammit, Kim Sloan, Ellen Parker, anybody around 60. Oh, we can cash you. Where's Elizabeth Hubbard, bitch? She could be Alexa.
I love how you brought back everybody from a P&G show.
Because you already know.
Not Elizabeth Hubbard.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. He was like, oh, you know what?
I don't want to think about Elizabeth Hubbard. I don't want to think about Elizabeth Hubbard. Lucinda just banging Sonny Corinthos. So I don't want to go there. No.
Lucinda's going to walk in and she's going to go, Sam, hello.
Okay. And Sam's gonna be like, "Grandma, what's up?" No, 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 no.
They would have been like, "Child, put a lace front on Colleen's ink, honey, and make her Alexa's day."
A lace front, not a lace. Lord in the morning. Tiggs, I certainly agree with everything you had to say. I just think, you know, Nancy usually, you know, Nancy goes through this about every 6 months. You know, you can kind of set your clock. And that's just because she runs the risk of it, just because she is so outspoken and very politically active, which there certainly isn't a harm to that, because I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, celebrities need to shut up about politics. I'm like, there are people too who have opinions. I also agree with Alan in the fact that I don't think it was wise to tweet it in the way she did, but I'm certainly glad that she replied to Soap Jin for a little bit of clarification. But I still don't think it should have been tweeted.
It just didn't translate well. It didn't translate well. I don't think what she said was wrong. It's just the way it came out didn't translate
exactly.
Yeah. So I'm glad she came back and clarified what she meant, because I could see what she meant. But for others that don't know how Nancy rolls, especially for political beliefs, she's very outspoken. She sends those torpedo tweets every day, and like sometimes when you keep sending tweets off the grid like that, some are not going to translate well. And she got some people heated, because I went on the Bird app to take a break from work, and I saw that. I'm like, oh Lord, the girls are fighting again. The girls are fighting, because like here we go again with another GH actor putting their foot in their mouth. But in this case, Nancy clarified what she meant, and I know what she's trying to say. It's just when you say, oh, we're sending to India, it does not come out well when you just say something like that. She should have said something maybe a little bit after her tweet saying, what I meant was blah blah blah, and maybe that would have died it down a little bit. But this will all die down by tomorrow, because like Twitter always needs that one day to like go off and snap, and then by the next day someone else is gonna say something stupid and it's gonna be forgotten. But
right.
It's a lesson learned from Nancy. I mean, I'm glad she takes, at least for her, she takes accountability for what she says. Unlike some of her other co-stars, yeah. I will not mention tonight.
I'll drag each and every one of them. Because
why men should have aimed high at Jax's temple. Fuck it.
So,
Alan, did you have something else to say?
No, you know her, Chaz. He hasn't spoken yet.
I wish everybody could have seen the grin that Chaz just.
Okay.
Over there looking like the Cheshire Cat, just
I would say this. I don't have a dog in this fight, right? So I watched GH for like 2 weeks, like a month ago. And so I'm not familiar with the actors. I don't follow Nancy Lee Grind on Twitter or anything like this. But when it was mentioned earlier, I did see what she tweeted, and I will say this. I have a coworker who is, you know, Indian, has family in India right now, right? So if you are going to tweet something like that, I didn't find it to be racist, but I found it to be incredibly insensitive. There are people who are here in this country that actually, you know, have family members that are, you know, they're very worried about in a country where COVID is out of bounds right now, you know? So if you are going to tweet something like that, first of all, I wouldn't have ever tweeted anything like that. You know, it's just, especially if you have a high profile, and I think that soap stars and any stars can use your Twitter as you wish. But if you don't want the smoke from people coming from saying things that can be completely insensitive, and there's multiple comments underneath the actual tweet itself saying, hey, this is insensitive, this is not right, you shouldn't say this. Obviously you offended some other people, right? So it'd be easier for you to say, this is what I meant, which she did eventually do, but you still left the insensitive tweet up. So I think, I don't, like I said, if I were in that shoes, I would just be like, okay, maybe I should take this down. I'm sorry, I've offended so-and-so. And you are going to offend people if it's your Twitter, right? But when you're on the national news, we're looking at them burning bodies from people that are passed away from COVID. why would you pick that country right now to talk about it in the manner that you did? I just felt it was insensitive and it was ill-sighted. I would have never tweeted it.
Yeah, and you know, D, I believe it was you who brought up, you know, she could have said Florida or something. You know, maybe she should have kept it like US based, in my opinion.
But we're not taking it seriously. Okay, I live in the South and I'm telling you, nobody here. Well, some people are taking it seriously, but most people aren't.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, that was my point, that you could have done it. But I felt like 9 times out of 10, she was probably looking at the news and looking at India, and that's the first thing that popped in her head. And so she put it up on there. You
which
know,
sometimes
or,
you know,
or she could have said, she could have said Brazil. She could have said Brazil. Yeah. She could any place. I mean, I just feel like all of the bad places, unfortunately, have brown people up in there. I mean, I'm being honest. The places where people are dying the most are the places where we need to send help to the most. They are the most impoverished. I mean, it's unfortunate. It is what it is. She said something. I immediately got what she meant. Most of the time, I don't realize that there's a problem until somebody on Soap Twitter gets in their ass about it. And then it's just like, oh, okay, I guess you took it that way. I never took it that way, but.
Yeah, like me, I don't pay enough attention to the soap stars on Twitter really like that. I let them do what they do, because just in case they say something stupid, I don't even want to deal with that. And I'm like Dee Dee, like Nancy seemed like the person that keeps her shit on like C-SPAN 24 hours a day. So she probably
she's like my mom. She's like my mama on MSNBC 24/7. If it's not on there, then she is on C-SPAN. Like, I love that you said that, because that is really at
the only thing that probably distracts her is a new script coming in. I mean, she's like, I gotta learn these lines real quick, but I'll be back to MSNBC and C-SPAN.
I mean, she stays on top. She stays on top of stuff, and I'm saying, like, that's why if you look at the majority of her tweets, like, she is tweeting about social issues, and I mean, and everybody's like, oh, you always defend these soap stars. No, I don't. I drag a lot of them. And if she did something inappropriate, I'd be the first person leading. You know, I mean, there's inappropriate, there's inappropriate, you know. So it's like, I'd be the first one. You know, Ingo, I'm looking at you. I don't care. So no. I'm just saying, he don't listen to this damn show. Okay.
He is the phantom. He is
we ran him off of Twitter.
Yeah.
We ran him off of Twitter. So trust me when I say he's not listening to the chat. So it's whatever.
If he is, we don't need his listenership. So
I'm sure.
Come on as a guest. Come on as a guest, Jax. You don't want this smoke, okay? Because I'm not Nancy. I ain't gotta be nice to you.
It's going to
come on here. Come on here. Let me show you what's up.
It's going
to
be.
I'm pretty sure after that bullshit with Nancy, I'm pretty sure they probably pulled him to the side and be like, "Motherfucker, do you want to keep your job? Do you want to keep your job? Well, shut the fuck
exactly.
up."
Exactly. Exactly. But they still be trying it though. You know, they'd be real slick over there. They'd be real slick over there at that hospital show with the stuff that they be putting up. And you'd be watching like, I see what you're doing. So, you know what? He ain't even afraid. He just probably laughed it off, because that's all they ever do on that show is laugh it off, no matter what. Like, they don't care about her feelings. They'd be like, fuck your feelings. That's just how they are over there. And everybody knows it. It's like the worst kept secret. It's not even a secret.
Honestly, it's been that way since Gloria Monty took over that show back in 78. So, I mean, and it will continue to be that way until the show goes off.
Work environment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
everybody
even think
that leaves
they
that
know
show
that.
Talks about it. Ooh, everybody ask, that ask, leaves ask, that show talks about the toxic work environment.
Ask Jeannie Francis. That's all I say.
Ask Vanessa.
Vanessa, yes.
Ask Tamara. Ask all of them. Like,
they couldn't even spell Vanessa's
ask Sarah
name
Joy
right.
Brown. They couldn't even spell her name right on the cake, bruh. I mean, come
Vanessa
on.
After she had put in
her name.
After she had put in 5 years of work on that show, and they couldn't even spell it, her name right.
And that's why I tell y'all, take all your damn personal days, take all your vacation days, because they don't care about you. They don't care about us.
No.
I'm being real honest.
They gave Vanessa Antoine a damn cake instead of Vanessa on it. Lord Jesus.
That let me know everything I needed to know about that network when they did that.
Can't even spell his name right.
Oh Lord. Anyway, let's hop to another network because I'm so done with ABC. Anyway, let's talk about our CBS shows, which looks like they're trying to get some old viewers back. Y&R is gearing up for a shoestring budget tornado, and DMV is bringing back Republicans. So Chaz, let's go to you first. What do you think about a tornado coming to the young and the restless?
I tweeted this the other day. Mama's family called asking for their tornado episode back. This exact same thing happened on Mama's family.
Mama's family. I'm
yes, dead. It did. On season 3 in episode 9 during Thanksgiving, they all got over to the house. When they came over to the house, tornado hit. Everybody got trapped in the basement because the door got wedged closed. Look, turn on Young and Restless. Adam and Nick is trapped in the basement because the tornado came through and the door got wedged closed. This is Mama's Family 2.0. They did it better and it was funnier. I'm not here for no, I maybe it'll be good. I don't think so, but all of this is setting for Adam to be up the savior of the year once again.
You know what? This is trash, though. That's Sharon should have went because you know what? They wouldn't let Sharon go because then my Shadon would be doing it all over that basement and we can't get what we want. So
fucking
no.
And fucking.
You already well, know.
I was just confused, though. I was confused by Nick's line in the promo when Adam goes,
it didn't make any sense.
When Adam sense. Goes, like, what is that? And he goes, Nick says, it's a tornado. I have experience with it. I'm like, you didn't save the love of your life and Faith. That was Adam who close that barn door with his back muscles under Michael Muni. And so
he sure did. He sure
I wonder
did.
If, you know, but I do I wonder think... though if that line was supposed to be Mark Grossman's. Like I think they got the lines switched or something.
Just like Richard had called that's what happened. Boy his grandson the other day, or the other episode. Oh, that's what's the name?
That pissed me off.
Mr. Victor.
Well, that's what happens when your scriptwriters don't know the history, though. But I'm gonna shut up.
That's what happens when
even if that was in the script, you Eric motherfucking Brayton, correct that shit.
Oh, you think Eric really Tiggs? Really?
I would have been like that. I would want to be one of them actors. I would be ad libbing and rewrite. I'll be. Allegedly, Allison Sweeney and that bitch. I'm not saying this shit. Give me that mark.
Eric Braden cares at this point? Eric Braden been.
They
could
have edited it out. They could have edited it out. They should have edited it out.
They can't even pay. They can't even pay Shutterstock for their opening photos.
Somebody behind the scene director should have been cut. Eric, that's Neil's son. Let's say that again, Eric. Say it again.
Right. It wouldn't have wasted that much time to make him.
Even Sharon Kate's face was like, you don't fuck up.
Yeah, she knew it was hard. You can tell.
He's old as creek water, okay? He can't be expected to remember everybody.
Yes, and the sad part is, let me just say this.
I think that the Young and the Restless has probably one of the most talented casts in daytime as far as acting-wise. But they're like a cake that nobody has the recipe to. You have all the ingredients, you have it sitting on the counter, but you don't know what the recipe is. And the show has been like this for quite a while under Josh Griffin. It's just like you have all the good ingredients for this to be a really, really, really good show, but they don't know how to use them. They don't know how to make the cake.
Susans are there though. There are Black chefs. Let them into the kitchen.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, let the Susans take over because I'll be damned if there ain't a Susan out there that don't know how to cook.
Right.
Let's keep it real.
Okay. Goodness.
But yeah, it's so like we can tell that they really don't give a shit at this point, no matter if it's an actor or a director or a script writer. I mean, they just don't give a shit. They're like, oh, well, he said the grandson, but we've got to be out for lunch in an hour or CBS charges $2,000 more.
But it's like, you need to give a shit. Y'all the motherfuckers that decide to
I'm not saying they don't. I mean, of course.
It's like, y'all need to give a shit. Y'all the ones that decided to keep this show on the air for another 4 goddamn years. So act like you care.
Okay. Exactly.
Okay, here I come, as usual, defending. I will say, and I'm saying I'm speaking from firsthand experience, they are running behind on production. Like, they are running behind on sets. And so there probably was not enough time for them to go retape it. That's why I'm saying they should have just cut the whole thing out. It would have took you all of 2 seconds. The same way it took him 2 seconds to say it, it would have took you 2 seconds to go, whoop, take that part out and keep it moving. The same way you would if somebody's tit popped out. You would have edited that out.
They do that shit at GH and Days all the fucking time. And they be taking that shit we want to see.
You know,
right, they be taking that shit we want to see. So
it's very unfortunate, you know, that made it to air. I think we can all agree. Because it's like where, you know, you look back at when shows used to visit the behind the scenes at Y&R. And what was Bill Bell doing? He was up in his office with two monitors, one on B&B, one on Y&R. As he was typing the scripts and looking over the budget, he was watching the live feed of the studio floor. And I'm like, where is Anthony Marina? You know, put on your mask and get to your office, because right now it looks like you're allegedly not there.
Okay, he think he Ken Corday. Shit. Take your ass first.
Not Ken Corday.
I'm like, Anthony,
go up and Ken Corday.
Anthony, you ain't writing any books that are out of print. I'm like, what you doing?
I just think we're getting the Cliff Notes version of Bill Bell's Young and the Restless. It's just like, you know, you could read the whole book, but let's just read the highlights and try to make
it. It's
that
the spark notes. Yeah,
we ain't even getting the Cliff Notes of shit.
And what I can say about this tornado,
you're getting
stunt,
the footnotes.
This tornado stunt, if you're not Chuck Pratt, don't write a stunt. Don't write a stunt, Jock River, because like, tornado's boring too. Because I'm like, I don't care about Nick and Adam stuck in, but what is Nick and Adam being? Are they going to become brothers after this is done?
No,
they will for all of 10 seconds until,
which they already
did. Well, I'm just saying, look at how Lola in Summer with that liver. Oh, once she got that liver up in there, then she went back to being a big old raging bitch. So I'm just saying, Nick gonna be chill until he gets what he wants, and then he gonna find a reason to get pissed off.
Yeah.
Nah, he might not get pissed off. Victoria's year to be mad at Adam. I think they trade off. So, I mean, the real drama would have been if Sharon would have went, and then they would have got stuck in that basement and be like, well, is Sharon gonna cheat on Ray? Because we know it's gonna happen, but it's just a question of when.
And they should
have
done that.
So I'm just like, that would have been great.
How many great daytime stories have come from the couple you want to be together being trapped in a natural disaster? They just did it a few years ago with Ashley and Stitch when his blonde pubes were on fire during the Newman event Halloween special extravaganza.
Philip and Beth in a plane crash and they fucked in a plane.
Sunny and Brenda off in a snowstorm. I mean, boy,
the avalanche
and
all
with,
my
I mean,
children.
Then them in the catacombs. Then, I mean, like, Sunny and Brenda excelled at, oh, look, we're in a life and death situation. Let's make out. Let's fuck.
You always are supposed to have sex on a soap when you in a life and death situation. Always. It's required.
That's like a prerequisite. It really is.
This didn't need to happen because as soon as Nate told them that Faith had bruised kidneys, I said, we'll go ahead and start cutting Adam up like y'all cut up Katie Logan and take one of his kidneys. This needs to happen. So
I'm Aaron surprised Katie
like
Logan wasn't a man
when she finally gets back together with Adam.
Katie Logan ain't got no kidneys. Katie Logan, she ain't got none of her original parts. She ain't got
her body
none
is falling
of her original
apart
parts.
Like a Mr. Potato Head doll.
The only thing she still has left as hers is probably her corneas, okay? And that is it. So let's just keep it real. I'm just saying, what body parts does she have left? She done got all of them from her brother and her brother's kid. Like, she done took them out now. She just need to go ahead and take Flo's heart and just, like, cut out the middleman here. You know, just give
that's
you love
that
Stormy's heart. Stormy's already
I'll
gone.
Tell you what,
okay,
though.
Take the babies.
Katie is like Drew Barrymore in the Santa Clarita Diet, because she is just, But Rodrigo, you know, you had brought up an interesting point about, you know, Chuck Pratt and then Nick and Adam's relationship. And of course, the last big disaster on the show when Chuck Pratt did his Halloween Newman Towering Inferno thing, Nick and Adam, that is when they forgave each other. So, I mean, we're basically replaying.
We're going back again, back to the basics.
But on a much
again.
Lower budget, it's not as exciting. Chuck Pratt, to his fucking credit, Chuck Pratt would have promoed this 2 weeks out it would have been the biggest thing to hit daytime in a few years. Sure, he would have been plot driven and introduced a doppelganger and Jensen Buchanan and, you know, Paprika and, you know, Sage and Peppermint Patty and Charlie Brown.
We don't talk about Spice Rack, yo. We do not talk about Spice Rack on this show. Leave her dead. Where's she at? Okay. We do not talk about Spice Rack.
But like you said, Casey, it ain't even dead on the budget. That's why they in Kansas and not General City, because they knew they were going to have to tear the whole city up. They Kansas. So
they can't even. I'll tell you what, their budget's so low. They can't even flip over a lobby chair in the Grand Phoenix because they'll be out $50.
That's where the tornado should have gone, is would destroy that damn hotel, Phyllis's hotel.
Okay, so we can get the grant.
I would have been here for that.
Hold on. Just sell the damn GCAC to Phyllis. He don't give a damn about that damn hotel.
It should have been the All My Children 1995 tornado, where they were all in that ballroom.
Yes.
And
yes.
You hear the sirens going off and you cut to everybody, and then all of a sudden, kaboom.
Oh, that's okay. Where it should have been like a party going on at the hotel. Yes. And then all of a sudden, here comes this tornado coming out of everywhere.
Mariah loses the baby.
It would have been higher.
When is she due? When is Mariah due? Because if she due for November sweeps, we can make this happen.
March or something, she's probably due in the fall. Yeah.
Yeah, she's gonna be due around the holidays.
She's gonna be due around sweeps. So she's gonna lose that baby because I'm already willing this into existence. I done lit up the prayer circle. I'm not the candles are lit. I'm not playing.
She's gonna do it.
If Hillary can't have her baby, then Devon does not get a baby with trash ass Abby. I don't care what anybody says.
Nobody else can have a baby on this show again. Period.
No, I didn't say all that. I'm just saying Devon's first kid should have been born. Thank you, Mel Young, you sorry fucker. But I'm just saying, no, this is not okay. He needs to have a baby with someone he's in love with, not with Abby.
My wish is I hope that Amanda's granddaddy stashed Hillary somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
In secret.
Oh, Lord.
And I would love to see Michelle Morgan do a dual role on this show. That would be amazing. And
she could carry it.
She's been carrying the show.
Oh.
And then we see that Hillary had that baby. She had that baby. It's somewhere out there. That's my dream. But you know, Josh, but he ain't going to do that shit. But
I'm good. I love Amanda. Michelle is on my screen. That's all that matters. Hillary can stay dead. I want to know more about Imani because Imani acts like Hillary. She's the game.
I hope Imani is going to fucking date.
Hopefully, Imani is going to fucking date and they actually treat like a real character, not like a day player. Hopefully.
Yeah. She needs to get with Nate. And I want Elena to become a
bitch. Are we sure? I'm sure.
I don't want her with Nate. Nate is so bland.
He's boring.
He's a bad girl. He'd be interesting.
Oh, hello. So was Bright.
He needs fire to go with his ice. That's the point.
Hello. So was Devon until he got with Hillary.
Yeah.
Let's keep it 100. So let's do this.
When she put that good food on Nate, he ain't gonna know what
hit him. Know what
but I need him to sleep with Lola first, though, because I need to bust up that shit with Elena, though. I'm like, he needs to sleep
with
Lola.
You know what? Then you make a good point, because Neil was kind of dry before Drew came along. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you need fire to go with ice. That's why everybody be talking about Victoria and Ray. I'm like, oh, hell no. Them two boring motherfuckers. She bitchy and frigid, and he always walks around like he's somebody's goddamn mama. Don't nobody want to see that bullshit.
I just look.
Bobby husband.
Yeah.
Right. I think he's about to spank her, and not in a good way.
I love Britney's
heart. Give me that phone, Sharon. It's your bedtime, Sharon. You're grounded, Sharon.
I'm leaving you, Sharon, 12,000 times in one damn episode. If you're gonna leave, then just go. Oh,
okay. Every other week is a promo of Ray and Sharon. I'm about to leave. Okay, go ahead.
Don't let the door speak
Jordy.
I can't take this no more. Okay.
Jordy and Sharon Case do very well in those scenes. We know they can fight already. Sharon can do her crazy eyes. Jordy can break his voice up like he's a 14-year-old going through puberty and going, Jared, you know, we get that. We can do that already. Who cares? They already have their Emmy reels. I'm so over it. And like Ray's hypocrisy is like way too much for me. Like this isn't Sharon's problem anymore. Like Sharon just needs, Sharon's daughter was dying in a very reminiscent way to how she lost a child already. And she calls Ray. She's broken up. She is on the edge. And Ray's like, is it Adam? No. Her dad has been, you know,
that's what I was saying. I don't even see, like, Michael's the DA. Why are you letting this fool, salt, like, investigate his own poison? That's stupid.
I was glad when Victor said to Michael, he was like, you need to take Ray off this case, my boy. You know, I was really happy about that. Because, you know, it's like nobody is thinking of sound mind and body when it comes to this Ray thing. And I'm so over Ray. I'm like, he's so
at this point. I read it for Ray to die.
Yeah, you know, yes. I really like Jordy Bulosuso, but
I love Jordy
for 3 years and I don't like him. I still can't sit through a scene of him and Lola alone. And it's been 3 years. Get rid of him.
And he's got a mother who's only 2 years older than him. I mean, it's like, I'm so over it. It's just, no, it's not working.
They got rid of the good Rosales. The only one they should have kept was Mia. I mean, Lola did. Mia was good and Lola's all right, but all they got her doing is being a talk to for other people. How you gonna take relationship from somebody that don't even know how to be in a relationship? How you gonna take advice from somebody that can't be in a relationship?
I love Lola.
Lola fumbled the bag, literally.
Yeah.
She really did.
I loved Lola.
I love Lola. Even after
Pursegate a little bit. I loved, you know, when Kyle used to get the lesbians to play a song outside of Lola's window with CGI snow. That was great. That was fine. But where they lost me with Lola is she had the opportunity to go crazy or a little bit unhinged or get mad. Summer literally took back what was rightfully hers, in my opinion. And all Lola says to Summer was like, oh, thank you for taking Kyle off my hands. I didn't want to wash his jock straps anymore.
You're right. And that's the whole thing younger people, like with GH, with Sasha and Chase and Willow and Michael. These are people in their late 20s, early 30s. These are people around my age. We are not that fucking nice and civil. Bitch, you took my man, bitch, and I'm a cut.
Lola and Summer,
they should have went at it.
They would have taken it out to the society parking lot, beat the shit out of each other, and it would have been on Instagram.
Think about Summer like this is love and hip hop. Think about Jocelyn when she said, I can take your man again. And she did it. I mean, come on, you should have had that energy, but they just didn't.
Lola could have been like, boring. It's like Lola could have been like, look, Kyle's my husband and he ain't going nowhere. I'd be like, well, you know what? If I can't have Kyle, bitch, give me my motherfucking kidney back, hoe, and have them bitches fight. We want to see some ratchet shit sometimes on soap operas.
Lola is still cutting celery root with that
damn kitchen. Get Lola out the damn kitchen. She getting ready to go anyway. But still, like, I'm tired of her being in this damn kitchen cutting stuff.
They got her out of the kitchen and got her with Theo. And all those damn Cola fans started complaining. So now where's she at? Back in the kitchen.
Look, she probably walks up to Christoph St. John and say, oh, I see we got this. I'm so sorry. Hold on. Oh my god. Okay.
There's a nice way to edit that out.
You guys, I am gonna edit that out. Lord, see how
we talk. I'll put it on Twitter first though, because she edited it out.
You see my face, I was like, I'm like, John is passed.
I was looking down
Alan,
at
send
you.
Send that tweet. Send that the tweet, first... Alan. Send it. Uncensored. Send that tweet before he goes and cuts it out. The world needs to know that he did this.
The first face I saw was Chaz. As soon as I paused, and Chaz was like, but anyway.
Wait. I was like, well, I don't know where you're going with this now.
So, Brian, you know what? No, I'm not even going to say the point anymore.
Yeah, moving on. Let's move on.
Okay, Nancy Lee Gron. Now you can you have some empathy now?
Yes.
Can you have some empathy now? Thank you.
Yes. Oh gosh. You know, I'm just so sorry. You know,
gather India, yourself, Casey. Gather yourself. Gather
India
yourself.
India is together. Clearly the same as the Wyandotte Studios Nancy Lee.
Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, so well, this is I can't believe that even happened. I don't even think I've ever made a mistake on a name that bad before.
That's all right. We give you 5 seconds. You pick it right from this spot, and then you can go on with the show.
See, Chaz is new to the podcast, and Chaz is Olivia Pope fixing it.
Nah, bro, we let this mess ride, yo. Oh, shit ride. Because if any one of us had did this, he would have dragged us for filth. So, you know what?
Oh, please, Casey. Anytime I say some dumb shit, you keep it in there.
I will keep this whole interaction in here. You know what? You heard it here first, the chat listeners. I will keep this in here.
Don't worry about it. They love us. They're probably going to be laughing for the next 5 minutes while we're
talking. Casey going to get dragged all over the band. I'm so excited.
When we celebrate our third anniversary, they're going to say, oh, my favorite moment was when I had a great laugh about Christoph St. John being brought into the conversation.
Yeah. Anyway, everybody got quiet too.
Nah, it's now still gonna be Alan telling you to fuck yourself. That's still gonna be number one, yo.
I usually wait till somebody say something out of pocket to make my drink. So thank you,
babe. You're welcome, baby. See, and I, you know what?
I like how you set the camera up right in front of them.
They already know what time it is.
Oh, and our listeners know he drinks. Our listeners know he's Alexis.
They can tell when the liquor hits too. Like it's very you know what? Obvious.
And see, I had 2 glasses of wine with dinner, so.
And that's why you calling people by the wrong damn name. Oh, right. Wine for you.
Casey only
been
legal to drink for 6 months. Now look at him. Yeah, look.
Look, his liver isn't even seasoned yet, so that's why he making these mistakes. This was an amateur mistake, Casey. We'll give you another six months to acclimate.
Oh my God.
We'll give you another 6 months.
Okay, Facebook to fuck that up.
Look, I'm like Nikki Newman, which used to carry breast spray in her purse during Maria Bell's alcoholism story. And she would look a mess. Nikki would look like she was a hooker.
You're like fucking Alexis with a whole damn fifth off in her purse, just pulling it out. You're way beyond Nikki, okay?
It got to the point. Alexis had a bottle of Fleshman's in her purse.
She had a straight fifth, just walking around with a fifth and just pulled it out. And you know what? And this is why I love her. I stand Alexis in that water bottle. She had the water bottle, that fire water bottle to this day, okay? That vodka bottle in her was her best pairing. I don't care what anybody says. She lit everybody up.
I don't think I've ever cried laughing
with a bottle of UV talking shit.
I don't think I've ever cried laughing in the 2 years of this show. Anyway, let's just move on to the both of the people.
Rest in peace, Christoph.
Oh my God.
No.
Anyway, let's just move on to the both and the beautiful. So Kimberlyn Brown might be returning to the show as Sheila Carter. She recently posted on Instagram a parking pass to stage 31 where B&B is shot, and she met with the casting director of the show. So, Dee, let's go to you. What do you think of Sheila Carter possibly coming back again?
You know what? I know you went to me first because you know I don't give a fuck about Sheila Carter, and I'm the only one on this show that probably doesn't. I really don't care. But I'm just saying, y'all don't know what she was there for. Everybody, the whole weekend, people are all up in, oh my God, Sheila's coming back, fighting and arguing. And people been talking about, you know, Kimberlyn Brown and her political beliefs and all this other stuff. And I'm sitting here like, y'all don't know what that lady was there for. It could have been a whole, and then y'all saw that screenshot or whatever that came out that said that she was taping for an upcoming special. I'm like, y'all sitting here and y'all that got into all these damn fights all weekend long and you don't even know what's really going on. You know what? If it could do anything to lift, I just don't need Sheila to have any damn more kids that we didn't know about. She got 5'11 kids that nobody knows about, all these secret children. Like,
okay, just, you know, Greg.
And you
fuck around that, you know, Vinny was her straight. She had Vinny
exactly.
She had Vinny with one of the men she was in a militia with 25 years ago. Like, what?
You know, and I'm just over it. I'm like, can we just have straight up that Liam's dumbass hit him and it just be what it is? You know, I'm okay with this. And Ghost Vinny, shout out. I love you. Keep coming through, clutch player that you are. Light him up. Ghost Vinny got Liam feeling bad, more bad than he did for 10 whole years of leading on Steffi and Hope. So I'm all for Ghost Vinny. He's my new best friend. But whatever. I know y'all like Sheila Carter. If y'all want her back, whatever. I'd rather have Amber Moore back personally. But if y'all want Sheila Carter back to be serving breast sticks over there at Bertucci's or everywhere else, I don't care. Whatever little makeshift restaurant y'all come up with, they gonna have her over there at the soup kitchen or somewhere else doing some non-Sheila Carter stuff, and y'all just gonna be happy just to see her on the screen. Me, I aspire for higher.
Look,
if she ain't coming back trying to kill somebody, I don't want any part of it.
Right, like she needs to go ahead and come back. The first thing she needs to do is shoot Flo in the head.
She's gonna put a little arsenic up in Katie's chili from the Wahlburgers.
I could take or leave avocado at this point, because if she's gonna come back to this show, the one thing they need to do is have Lauren to the fucking Fenmore find out.
Yes,
this bitch is still alive, so we can get our confrontation between Lauren and Sheila. That's all I want. I don't care about anything else but a Lauren and Sheila confrontation.
Right, I wouldn't mind seeing her get into it with Quinn, so she'd be like, "I'm gonna show you how a real crazy bitch."
Quinn and Sheila's cat fights were the best part.
You had like,
that BBC, she'd be more mad about that.
Lord, serving fries. She's gonna keep serving fries at Chick-fil-A. I don't want that. I don't want to see that. I don't want that.
Chick-fil-A fries.
Save the Bertucci, save the Italian, the breadsticks, and all that shit. If you're not gonna take it seriously, I don't want her back. But I did hear she's only back for some international soap press event, but that might be how Brad likes to pull surprises.
Okay, you know, Brad's sending out fake spoilers and shit, so you never
know. We'll see one day, all of a sudden, that's how they did Kimberly last time she came back to the show. We didn't know she was coming back. All of a sudden, here comes Sheila coming out of nowhere.
Exactly, she was in the scripts as a woman named Jane, so.
Yeah, so Brad likes to pull these stunts sometimes, so maybe she's, and Mace, I don't know, Brad is pulling some good stunts right now, because my quarter.
Yeah.
Brad
Bell has turned into that 80-year-old uncle of all times. You know, he be repeating himself and not making sense most of the time. And then you get that couple of weeks where he remembers everything that happened back in 1967 verbatim. And you like, oh shit, Uncle Pat back. So we'll see.
You know what? You know what? I'll be the first one to drag Brad Bell, and I do it to his face. I don't care, but I'm just saying, when it sweeps time, he comes through and he sweeps up. Okay, I'm just gonna say, bold. Actually, what are we talking about? Bold. What has everyone been talking about for the past like week now? Quarter. This is what Brad does.
Yeah.
This is what Brad does.
I do have to say, Alan.
I think you know, Rodrigo. You're right. I think if Sheila is gonna come back, they got to put Lauren over there. She ain't doing nothing on Young and Restless. She hasn't been in a very long time. And that writes itself. There's tons of history.
And Lauren needs to be the one to finish Sheila off. Lauren needs
to come back
for the last time. Yeah.
She can come back to visit LA, find out what's going on with Eric. She needs to read Eric for filth too, because his dumb ass should have said something to her a long time ago. Nobody wanted to call Lauren to let her know that her arch nemesis is alive and well,
they serving
breadsticks, and y'all didn't say nothing to her. Ooh, get Tracy Bragging back on the show.
She ain't doing nothing on Y&R but being Mrs. Garrett with Summer and Sally. Girls!
Thanks, each other.
And she being forced to make puppy dog eyes with Michael since she's been his beard for the last 15 years.
They are due for one of them to cheat. They are past due for one of them to cheat. It's been a long time. It's Michael's turn. It is Michael's turn to cheat. He needs to cheat with Ray. I'll never get that. I'll never get what I want. I will never get what I want. So
Dee,
let him cheat.
Dee, who's the top in there? Who's the top?
There y'all go. Here y'all come with that gay man fuckery. I don't want to think about that. Okay?
I don't know goddamn well who the top is. Ray gonna grab a fistful of that you know newly dyed hair of Michael, and he gonna wear that ass out.
Lord Michael got the prostate cancer.
Chris LeBron,
that's why Michael letting Ray be in charge of this case.
Lord, I tell you what, though, when Ray does his own prostate exam on Michael, it's going to feel very
familiar. I can't look at Michael the same again. Ever since Chris LeBlanc started posting his Grindr pitch profile pictures, I just can't look at him the character the same way.
Yeah, okay. I'm not sure what in the dread. This is my fault
because I unleashed this was my fault. I apologize. I did not know we were gonna take it this far into the gay man fuckery. I apologize for that.
Look, Michael gonna get him a good twink, you know, somebody who behaves with his spending limit on the Capitol.
Oh, bring Ray back.
Poor Rave.
I've already bought it for Adam, so you'd probably be up for Michael.
They're gonna have a threesome. It's gonna be
that was determination.
Look, it's gonna be like a bad.
You're gonna keep this secret for me, motherfucker. I said, all right, Adam.
It's gonna be like a bad episode of Cop Rock.
This is one of these moments when I just feel really straight right now, because the fact that y'all all can tell who's a top and a bottom, and I'm like, I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
I've been trying to turn the conversation back to Lauren and Sheila. Ain't nobody listening.
Bottom, bottom, top, bottom.
Tops to bottoms,
the bottoms to tops. Lord, I don't know. I will say no.
Michael be tossing that gray hair back.
Look, I'll tell you what, though. I did crack up, though, when Sharon came into the house and she said, well, hello, Michael. And he said, well, hello, Sharon. And he turned around. He did a full 360.
I'm telling you, I know he be having them cackling on that set, because I know Christian be carrying behind them damn things. That damn Judith Chapman. Oh, shit.
Oh, they eat each other for breakfast. It's just...
Okay.
You know, those sets are smaller now, so they're going to have to be real
careful. Okay, you just mentioned something to me. What happened? What's the mama name? Judith Chapman.
Gloria.
Didn't she come back and put some in a music box or something and we ain't never heard of it again?
Well, no. So what it was is a guy was stealing millions of dollars from Newman Enterprises overseas, and she caught him doing it, and she was going to blackmail Victor for money or a job or something. And then Phyllis wanted the info, though, and Kevin had destroyed all of it, and she was like, come on, we're aces, you know, we killed Tim Reed together, but nobody brings that up, and you know, you burned down half the town for me. So yeah, it was kind of dropped, which is a shame, because I love Judith Chapman, and so
connected to what was going on with Amanda. The man that Gloria had info on could have been the one that really killed Amanda's dad.
Yeah,
but no, we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense.
But back to Lauren and Sheila for a second, because Alan, you brought up a really good point about Quinn and Carter. Now, of course, the last time Sheila was on B&B, she was trying to get Quinn to sleep with Mateo. So it would be great for Sheila finally have an aha moment and say, see, told you so. So, Alan.
I want Sheila to get a sex tape of Quinn and Carter bang the fuck out of each other, put that online, like if some play that on like the fashion show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have everyone see Quinn getting that BBC.
And okay, you know what? It needs to be.
Never been left for a black man before. So let's see this.
Here's how it can go down. Lauren can be in town. She's on partnership to do a fashion show collaboration with Eric and Finn Morse. And there you go. So you have Lauren on B&B now. You've got the sex tape coming out. People, you know, they won't know it's Sheila for, you know what I mean? So that's perfect.
Or Lauren can come to town because they got to hire a new designer or something, because what I've been seeing.
And you know what? Bring Sally with her, though. So
yeah,
it's like old times, you know, Sally Jr. and Lauren going to fashion shows together.
You know, full and damn well, Sally Spector ain't taking her ass back to LA so she could get dragged again. Bye.
Or a building collapse on her. Look, Sally's still got some shrapnel in us.
Yeah, once you pick a terminal illness, you're going to be dying in the town.
Lord, that was
the most stupid thing.
Sally too busy, you know, trying to get her daddy fetish up off the ground with Jack.
You know what? We're not going to talk about this. We're not going to talk about all the nuts.
Given Jack Abbott,
I'm killing me. They're really trying to write this like some type of love story. She don't love that old motherfucker.
Giving Jack Abbott clearance shirts from Target is not a love story.
But I think Didi was the one that said it, I think. But yeah, like, she needs to fuck Nick. I would tell her, oh, Summer, you and your mama want to fuck with me? Well, I'm going to fuck with y'all.
She need to fuck Nick. Like, that needs to happen. Because like the story writes itself, because Nick is a hoe, okay?
They should have been trapped in that tornado together. They should have fucked the tornado.
Sally better put it on his ass.
Because Michelle Staff needs something to do, and Phyllis ain't went batshit crazy in a long time.
God.
Like, could you imagine her getting to the Sally and throwing that bitch out a window at the Grand Phoenix?
Phyllis goes a special kind of crazy over Nick's dick. I'm just saying. So the story writes itself.
Is Phyllis still working the front desk at the damn hotel? I just can't.
Josh Rivers is a failure.
Why is the owner of the fucking hotel working the front desk? All the guys, they have nothing for Michelle Stafford to do.
Absolutely.
And she's been back almost 3 years and she's still got nothing to do.
She's a well-dressed.
You put her a nice outfit and shit and she's at the front fucking desk of the hotel.
She do the same thing that the pretty little black girl that worked there do, only that
the one in the green dress.
I want her job. She get her cute little what?
Does she not have an office?
$500 a day, and she just prances her ass around the set. She don't
got an office. She don't have an office. They can't build.
You know what?
Set.
Get that bag, Michelle. Get that bag, boo. Make
she
that
working,
money.
No.
Michelle working. She working for free, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. No.
Michelle, it ain't her fault.
I'm just saying.
The staff is collecting a free check. I don't blame
her.
Everybody ain't able. Get your bag, girl. That's all I'm saying.
I don't blame girl. GHA has a coin and why not did. Girl. I don't blame you. But it's just like you have Michelle right there. If you give her something to do, you know goddamn well she gonna deliver. Kill her mom off. Kill Avery off. Goddamn it. Let somebody need a heart transplant. Do any motherfucking thing.
Back, I just wish. It just makes me miss her Nina on GHA.
I really do.
Could you
imagine that scene with Michelle as Nina when she went off on Carly and Jack at Sonny's funeral? And
They dropped the whole thing on GH about her being, you know, how she was going to be Willow's mom. Those scenes, Michelle would have ate that little girl alive. I'm not even playing. I was ready for it. It was all primed and then it didn't happen. I'm just like, this is some bullshit. I didn't got invested in this. I mean, just the way she be scrapping, she was the best Nina. I love Cynthia Watros. Don't get it twisted, but Michelle Stafford was the best Nina.
When the truth comes out about Sunny and she got to defend herself,
she gonna deliver.
Looking at her motherfucking eye, and be wanting to strangle Carly. Watros gonna deliver, goddamn.
She's gonna deliver, but right now they're not giving her anything. But I'm saying, like, they gave better material to Michelle. I'm just being honest. They gave Nina better.
The thing about the young wrestlers is that you also have Trisha Cast on there, right? Who is
and you wasting her on this bullshit story,
right? There's just two Michelle and Trisha Cast. Should not be on the show doing absolutely nothing, playing supporting to people.
And
even fucking Eileen Davidson, you just got Ashley coming back to stroke Abby's ego. Fuck Abby.
It doesn't make
you know what
sense.
I've been saying that all day today on Twitter. Fuck Abby, like for real. Like it doesn't make sense. If you take 12 characters on one show to prop one person, that's your damn problem right there. How many more people?
Why should this be a heartwarming story? This billionaire.
Higgs, you're so right. Yes. It's like, why do we feel bad for Abby? Like, she has everything she wants.
You're a billionaire heiress who can't have kids. Who fucking who? So you
like
have
how
your
original.
One black friend and your one lesbian friend who you've only been friends for 2 minutes because you and Mariah hated each other until New Year's this year. That came out of no fucking
And I also don't understand. Why have Phyllis and Nina not interacted yet? They have so much history.
They almost got with Lauren had to break up a fight they had at GA, whatever it is.
GCAC. Because remember, I remember what Phyllis said to Nina. Phyllis was like, oh yeah, Ronan was so good in bed. And Nina popped the shit out of Michelle Stafford.
She popped the hell out of her. Nina is the only person that has popped Phyllis in the face.
I think Michelle Stafford looked shook.
Yeah, she was like, what's this happen? The only person that has gone up against Michelle Stafford well has been Victoria Ryle and Sharon Case, in my opinion. But, you know, they're not on the show no more. But
Sharon Case still there.
Sharon Case is still on the show.
Trisha Cass is the OG. Trisha Cass is the OG.
Chaz, Lord.
OG Nina.
Talking these shows.
Nina is the OG gangster of Genoa City.
She really is.
Twisted. She's from the hood. Everybody don't know.
She's from the hood.
Nina's from the hood. If you don't know that.
Nina was a lot of girls. I remember. In a minute. I watched the episode.
Who else? David Kimball.
David. Yep. And she did it to David as he was coming down the stairs getting ready for the day. Because I will never forget when David was coming down the stairs and he was like, oh, how are you, Nina? Forecast is showing light rain. And Nina was packing in her robe pocket. She pulled out a 32. She was like, oh, I'm going to shoot this man.
Okay. Got him on air 5 times. That's the first episode I ever saw of The Young and the Restless. It was the first episode.
Oh, what a good way to kick
off. Oh, yeah. I remember when David Kimball got killed. My grandmother and my mother were screaming orgasmically at TV. I'm like, what the fuck are they saying?
Like I say all the time, I tweet it all the time, they are wasting Nina Case. Nina Case.
Trisha Cass.
No, I'm responding. Someone sent me a message and they're like, what is Nina? They literally said, what is Nina doing on this show right now? They're doing nothing with her. That's why I got it confused. I'm sitting up there looking at, they're wasting her. Nina should be up. Nina is not anybody's grandma. I mean, technically she is about to be somebody's grandma, but you know what I'm saying. She needs to be out there leading stories. You have people that can lead, like Tracy. Tracy is a supporter and Tracy can lead. Nina can lead. Phyllis. The stories are writing themselves. They just refuse to do it. And that's why I get just frustrated.
Trisha Cast wanted to come back to this show. She was so, when Michael Fairman asked her in that interview, like, oh, would you ever be up for doing more of the show? She was like, yeah, you know, it felt like coming home again. So she wants to be there. She wants to be in story. And the fact that they don't give her legitimate story when there are so many things you can do with Nina is absolutely ridiculous. Trisha Cass.
Bring Roman back. They should bring Roman back and have Roman fuck Phyllis.
That's what they're saying. They're saying
they need Ronan.
That Ronan needs to come back. And I mean, they're wasting. Why is Phyllis not cheating? Phyllis needs to be cheating with somebody, okay?
She needs to be cheating.
Or Phyllis needs to cheat. Phyllis should be with Ashton. The Ashton lot.
Ashton. Especially since Summer is so worried about that secret coming out with Ashlyn's. Oh, Lord, Tiggs.
Come on. Why isn't Phyllis in that story? Like, come on now.
No, Jesus. She needs to, because that's exactly what Phyllis to do. It needs to be a situation because Ashton has already showed that he ain't shit. He was trying to fuck Victoria. So it's like, no, Phyllis needs to sacrifice.
Look, I cheer when Victoria said, I have kids to feed. I don't need to go to dinner with you.
I bet she don't with her frigid ass. But no, Phyllis needs to, it needs to be
Lachlan would have turned her ass out. I don't care. Okay? Let's keep it real.
It needs to be a situation where Ashton, like, I'm about to fuck Kyle up. When it comes out about that baby and Phyllis offers herself up, like, I can't let you do that. Well, I won't do it if you fuck me.
And then he's still going out it. You already know. Yep. And he would still do it anyway. After he didn't hit it with Phyllis, he was still out that secret. You know?
And then that way, Phyllis, you know, Michelle Stafford can do what she always did with Michael Graz today. Tell Summer, I did it for you. I did it for you. Well, girl.
Well, and at least I will say this. Phyllis ain't got no story, of course, but when it comes to Summer, she is still very consistent, because I loved on the April 9th episode, and I remember the date because it was so damn good, when Phyllis marched into the, Lord, I almost said Grand Society, when she marched into society.
It's the same damn thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. She practically told Lauren to go fuck herself over getting Sally.
She sure did.
And you know what? And if I was Lauren, I would have cussed her motherfucking ass out. Let me tell you something.
But you did.
But I love when Lauren. Oh my God. When Lauren said,
God damn it, this is my motherfucking money.
And that's what Lauren said. Yeah. She was like, I'm not going to put my JCPenney's at risk while these girls fight over something. And
you know the fact that was, you know, that was the one moment over years that I've actually remembered, like, who Lauren Femmer was, the Lauren Femmer of the 80s, right? Lauren Femmer of the 90s. It's just like, what happened to this person? You know, yes. She wasn't no nice and quiet and meek and but give me a break.
Well, like, and I think that scene now has shown so much growth on Lauren's part, because Lauren said, I'm not going to allow these two women to fight over, you know, things. And Phyllis said, oh, like you did? And that was so great.
Because, and my whole thing is like, but my whole thing, bitch, you didn't even know Lauren at that age. You weren't even in General City yet.
But Phyllis, yes, and this is just like Phyllis, she never points out her own sins the moment somebody comes for her child. It's all about, you know, who's coming. So I didn't mind that, but I tell you what though, this, that is the type of content we need every single day, because to his credit, Josh Griffith loves to put Tracy Bregman on as much as possible. He loves that. And every past stint he's ever done, she's on all the time. Now, yes, she needs more of a story, but it's great to have Lauren's presence there, especially with Sally Jr. and Summer. I love it.
Ooh. But he actually needs to write her damn story this time. But he
wrote her own story. Just like Nikki needs a story. Phyllis needs a story. Lauren needs a story.
All the women need a story.
Yes, Victoria needs a fucking story. I'm so sick of her frigid ass.
If they would write a story for the ladies, then maybe we would, y'all wouldn't be complaining all the time about, you know, Adam and Billy being on all the time if you write for the ladies.
Well, right now, notice it's not Billy. So right now, notice it's a lot of Ray. And, you know.
Yeah, it's Ray.
It's still focusing on man pain. Soap fans have never given a shit about man pain. We only like when a man is crying if his wife is dying or his child is dying.
Yeah, I only want to hear a man cry.
You know, the thing about it, it's not even like, to me, it's not even man pain. It's just not even written good or well. It's just boring. This is a whole lot of nothing happening.
It's like Ray, nobody told you to marry Sharon. You and Sharon had these issues with Adam months before y'all got married, and you married her anyway, you dummy.
So you knew what time it was. He knew what time it was, and he still married her. So you can't get mad after the fact. When you already knew that they had this unbreakable bond, because I mean, she's had it the whole damn time. Like, you and Nick are besties. Y'all are like virtually girlfriends. Why didn't you ask him?
I just thought of the girlfriends that got my girlfriends.
Exactly. That's exactly what popped in my head. That's how they be kiki, when they be kikiing with each other and talking about Sharon behind her back and stuff. What are you, men?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
And that's what I said. I get so tired of Ray and Nick gossiping like little bitches when it comes to Adam. And I'm like, Ray, what man do you know that is that damn close with a wife's ex-husband, unless maybe that's your brother? Nick doesn't see you as a
right. I was so mad when they cornered Sharon. Yes, it's wrong of Sharon to know Adam's whereabouts and not tell anybody, but for them to corner her and then straight up say, oh, Sharon, you're lying. Sharon could have been at the nail salon, actually, and Sharon could come home with full-on acrylics, and they would say, you were with Adam, weren't you? And she'd be like, no, I was getting my nails done. And they were like, tell me! It's like, my God, like, leave Sharon alone.
And you know, she's 8 years old. It's disgusting to watch.
In her own house. It's like...
And it's like, Nick always want to be like, well, we sure are child together. Child! Faith can take a liter of tequila to the head with like Victor. She is fine. She grown, okay? Faith ain't 7 years old no more.
She grown.
Hello. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, no, I feel like Nick and Ray are in a better relationship than Sharon and Ray are in.
But I'm serious.
We're not
I'm
ready, ready to have that conversation.
The wedding event of the season. I'm ready.
I'm in for Nick and Ray.
For a reset, you know, for the entire show. I mean, it looks like Bone and Beautiful is doing what they need to do, you know, because Sweep's coming around. So, and Brad Bell can turn that show around really quickly. Young and Rusty's got a lot more work to do. Like I said, they got all the ingredients for a good cake.
Yeah,
they
just don't know what to do with it. CBS allegedly got to get out their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly. And they need to tell Josh Griffith, homegirl, shout out to everybody. We had fun, but you got to go.
I remember.
Because I know, I understand that allegedly the network been standing in his way on a lot of things, but no, his first mistake was referring everything back to 2013.
He is capable of writing a good show. And I feel like he needs some kind of incentive to light that fire up under his ass to write the show that he's capable of doing.
I was so excited for Josh Griffith returning to this show 2 years ago.
I really was.
Because, you know, he took a break, you know, from the doom and gloom at days, which, mind you, he was also under the influence of Dina Higley. Dina Higley makes you do crazy things like a pack of popples.
He was a learned whole time, though. He wrote that summer shit.
He liked that. Josh Griffith was very, he liked dark. That dark shit.
He's dark.
But he also, you know, what I will say is Josh always needed somebody there to balance it out and be like, okay, Josh, we also have to show people in love and we have to show family. But I mean, his dark stuff, in my opinion, was threaded well. I mean, I love the triple car accident on Days of Our Lives with that montage. And, you know, Maggie's like, oh my God, you know, it was great. But, you know, Josh knows The Young and the Restless. He really does. You know, he has done every position at that show on and off since 2005. He knows The Young and the Restless. So I think, you know, what Tig said is true. It's allegedly a lot of network interference where to the point where it's just gotten too much. You know, Alan and I, we interviewed Wisner Washam from All My Children, and he was there when focus groups came into ABC. And he practically said, without saying it, they were the death of the show sometimes, because they had to write out Tom Cudahy because of that and change course directions. So I'm like, what is going on at Y&R to the point where it's gotten this bad? Are they even letting them write over there anymore? I mean, because I refuse to believe that it's this bad. Because when Josh started, I have to say, I groaned when Adam was going to come back for a 52nd time. But I loved the Vegas stuff. I thought Sharon looked fabulous. Sharon Case looked fabulous in that moody lighting and everything. They played classic cues. Josh got to write the trial of the women for JT. Everything was great. But it just, when Michelle Stafford returned, it kind of started to lose its way a little bit.
It started to lose its weight because he went back to his greatest hits 2013.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He just went literally 2013
all over again. You got brought up again.
You can't regress a show 5 years back to when the last time you were right.
And randomly, too. It happened so randomly. It wasn't even, you know, I'm okay if you want to revisit the past, but revisit. How about we reset the show to 1989? How about we do that? I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. My heart just aches for
that's daytime's problem. Always going backwards, never forward.
It was painful watching Billy having to grieve Delia over again when she's been fucking dead as long as Kath.
And it wasn't even good painful. You know what I mean? It wasn't painful. It was like painful as in I'm going to turn the TV.
Him and Adam had come to a place of understanding with Justin Harper.
Yes, they forgave each other to a point.
Like when by the time Justin Hartley was on at that show, Adam was pretty even Stevens with everybody but Chloe.
Adam so really like, had no beef with anybody.
Yeah, like Chloe was the only one that was still on that bullshit when he left. And then when Mark Russell came in, like it all just reverted back to 2013. And it's like, for what?
So yeah. I think they can do it. It's just got to make some major changes and it's to make it better because. You know, we get to the place, especially if you've been watching a long time, like I've been watching since like 1990 or whatever, you get to the point where you're just like, I hate to say it, but sometimes I just skip past whole things or skip past days or weeks at an end because I know nothing's going on. So,
and I'm not.
Good. Yeah, because people are having the same fucking conversations over
there. They are. And
are we talking about Bald and the Beautiful? Same conversation.
I think we skipped that conversation a long time ago.
I've binged the show. So when I sit down to watch the show, I'm binging it. I'm
me too, Casey.
I'm looking at the whole show. I never ever skip anything in a soap ever.
I do.
I don't. I watch the whole 40
minutes. I'm sorry, I can't tell you the last time I seen a scene with Abby.
Casey, sometimes I feel like you be multitasking during some of the scenes that you don't like, though. You'll be on in the background as you're doing other stuff.
You know, and D, you're so right about that. I definitely do. When it's an Abby scene, I'm probably doing the dishes.
I'm fast forwarding.
But I'm still going to listen. You know, I really, I do pay. I do pay very close attention to the show still. But yeah, I, you know, it's so interesting how like I, because D, you're right about that. I do look away from something I don't like Abby, but I still listen. Or, you know, when they showed the exposed fruit and big ass martini glasses from TJ Maxx at Society, you know, I look away, but I'm still going to listen. but yeah, it's crazy what the state of that show is, because to me, they have the right set of actors. They have the right canvas.
Yep.
I mean, all four.
There's no story. Too. Yeah.
All four. Truly. You just what you do with it.
Yeah. Yep. It really is. I mean, and you know, there are writers who have had to work under way harder conditions in the past, you know, where you haven't had your favorites. You know, how Marlena was off of Days of Our Lives for like a decade. And so, you know, nobody could write for her. And she was a favorite in the writer's room. But Deidre Hall was doing Our House. I mean, you know, so it really is all about what you do with it and how you present 40 minutes a day. 5 days a week, because it might be hard. I've always given daytime writers this. It might be hard to turn out 260 original episodes a year, but it's not hard to write a good soap opera. It's really not. The tenets of soap opera are so easy. They really are. You just...
Because it writes itself. It writes yes. its fucking self. Like everything going on with Kyle and Summer, with Tara, I want that girl to be recast. And she needs to be played by a soap vet. And she needs to be Diane Jenkins. It would be just Kyle's luck to have a baby with somebody that acts just like his fucking mama. A pain in the ass.
And so he could open his eyes then to see right. that his mother wasn't all.
And there needs to be a scene yeah. where they need to like tear see a setup. I want her and Summer to beat each other's motherfucking asses in the middle of the Grand Phoenix. That's what the fuck I want.
Get Bree Williamson. She's available.
Yeah, Bree. Well, yeah. They need somebody that's about 10 years older than Kyle, but about 15 years younger than Ashley. They need some, well, you know, somebody in the middle. Somebody about 40, 45. That's what they need. Because this little girl here, she could be a cocktail waitress at Society. Because I'm just like, she's giving me nothing.
She has dead eyes.
She likes, she got a dead cat. Shit.
Well, she was a recast.
Who is she, Patty? Is she Patty?
She was a recast. She wasn't the original Tara, so.
Well, good Lord, it's not original.
Do you remember that original thing?
Not off the top of my head, but she was going to be on there, but she ended up doing another show. And yeah, she was pretty.
She was Walker instead of Restless.
Which Richard Berge revealed on the Soap Opera Digest podcast.
No, girl revealed it on Instagram, but
yeah,
I'm just saying.
You know, Soap Digest is the number one way to get your soap magazines. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. Windar, we'll see. I really, you know, they could have taken the opportunity to really save up their budget and do a big disaster, because we know that disasters, Windar has a history of using them to reset the show and really get the ratings up. I mean, you know, when Chuck Pratt did Towering Inferno with Newman Enterprises, 5.6 million people tuned in for that week.
Yeah.
You know what'll get the ratings up? Some girl and girl, like on Days of Our Lives. Let's do some girl and girl. Do that.
See, look at you transitioning.
Do that.
The transition. I love it. Yes.
Even with Dave's budget.
I have an English degree, baby.
Dave's still going to get it.
Dave's was able to blow that damn church up for Ben and Sierra's wedding last summer. You can't tell me that Warren and I can't throw a couple of coins together and tear set up for a disaster to bring them ratings up. Bullshit.
And it's so easy, too. Take one of those ugly sets we don't need no more. I'm fine with never seeing Society.
When I tell you, when they destroyed the underground, baby, I needed a cigarette. Oh, I was so happy.
Oh, GH blew up that damn bar during the whole
blew out the floating rib.
The floating rib. Come on, y'all can do
that. Yeah, but that was a nice segue though, Dee Dee. Let's talk about the cat licking on Dave.
Oh Lord. Lord in the morning, not the cat. Oh Jesus.
But you know, it can be done. It's just like if they are gonna do a big disaster, I would like for them to clean up the cast a little bit too, because there's some people on the cast that can go. I'm sorry. Everybody is not great. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to get nobody out no job or nothing, but
I mean,
no, and I can tell which ones.
I am. You can take whatever y'all trying to pay Doug Davidson, and y'all can give somebody else. Goddamn,
Doug Davidson.
No, fuck that. I'd rather see Leanna Love on my goddamn.
Dukes, can I say?
Can we talk about the girl on girl? Because I refuse to talk.
Hold
about
on, I need to
Davidson.
Say one thing.
Nah, bro.
Tiggs brought up Tiggs brought up Paul, so I just need to say Ricky. All right.
No.
Let's talk about how Claire and
Yes.
So let's talk about Chanel and Allie.
Yeah,
okay.
Chanel and Allie. They were scissoring and
so love. Let's move on to some happier times where there is a soap actually telling proper summer sweep stories. So
now we ain't say all that.
I think they are.
What show y'all talking about?
We talking about Days of Our Lives. No.
So, yes.
Dave's is very poorly executed stories right now.
You know Dave's will become Gays of Our Lives in 2.2 seconds. Let's keep it real. So
no, Dave's is entertaining the hell out of me. Are you kidding?
Dave, no. I'm not saying it's terrible, but it's very plot-driven, and it's very...
Wow. I'm liking the plot, okay?
Yeah, D, I'm with you. I'd rather turn on a plot-driven show than Phyllis in a tight-ass dress behind the
grand fuck Phoenix. because I'm so sick of this Kristen bullshit and
I'm
this
just
bullshit
saying,
with
you take the good,
I'm
okay.
Saying, I'm
okay.
saying no so more masks. I said no Kristen and masks, no.
Yeah,
I'm done, but other than that.
Yeah.
Look, Tiggs, you brought up the Facts of Life. It's going to be the Facts of Life theme song over at Days of Our Lives. You take the good, you take the bad.
Apparently.
Sir. Sir.
But I
this is a podcast, what? Not karaoke. What?
Look, I can,
only use, shit.
I can only use 10 seconds. I'm going to use my 10.
I wanted to be with Chanel and Allie. I wanted to be revealed that, you know, they were doing their cat licking here and there where they was off in Europe and doing their thing and whatnot. And I just don't want to be just using that kiss just to, like, exploit anything. Like, come on, Ryan, I don't want any of that mess. Just make it a good, like, you know, they used to mess around, they're homegirls, they did their thing, blah blah blah, and just keep it moving. It could be a great, interesting story if it's done right, but I hope I don't know.
Like, I'll take anything over her and Trip. That shit is offensive, and it's no.
Oh, well, we can't go on that. I hate that part. I don't
like
that.
It's like no woman is going to accuse a man of raping her for 6 months and, oh, he didn't do it, so now I'm horny. That's fucking offensive. I don't know who at NBC said, oh, this is great. No. No.
I'm interested to see, though, you know, because, like, I'm so ready to go here with Days. Like, I am so ready for this story, especially as we approach the summer. You know, we're tapering, you know, the younger set off like Days famously always does. You know, minus that Dina Higley young set. I don't know her. but, you know, I'm really interested to see what the follow through will be and what the story will be, because I totally don't want it to be a storyline where Allie was raped and now she's sexually confused because of that. Because, you know, they kind of tried that with Bianca and All My Children. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't want it to be anything offensive. I want it to be a real organic storyline.
I thought you were going to say
Best Ron in London first. It's not going to be that, Casey.
I thought he was going to say orgasm. I thought it was orgasmic and he said organic, but no.
D, you ain't gonna catch me slipping.
It's too late for that.
Lord, I'm serious. Alan, what'd you say? I'm sorry, baby.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be like, I think they fucked around and aged each other out in London, so they have a past. I think that's the story. It's not gonna be like, oh, I was raped, I better try some pussy right now.
Oh my God. God damn, Alan. Jeez.
Alan, you just be saying whatever, man.
Chaz, I'm serious. Look, we tried to run such a Kristen Bullwood show.
You are such a big fat liar.
Look, I'm just saying the devil is busy.
On this podcast. So
but like, yeah,
I'm just saying.
I'm interested to see what's gonna happen because it took me by surprise. I'm just like, oh,
that
promo. It did too. I was watching that promo and I was like, oh. And then I was like,
I
and you know what? And Days is crazy because the spoiler just said Allie's gonna run into an old friend. You don't know she was gonna run into it like that.
Lord, so. I'm serious. Look, she gonna run into her, you know, whatever.
Big props to the promo department at Days who continue to just put out just some, and I love when they put it out on a Friday. Let it marinate for the weekend.
Yes. Be talking and all weekend. All,
yes,
I tell you what, they are paying their Shutterstock dues. You know, they are paying. They are paying their.
They may not have a budget for sets, but they have a budget for promotion. So I'm just. Okay.
Their promos stay fire. I will say that much.
They really do, and I love how once in a while they change up the background and the font and the colors of the words and stuff. Because I'm tired of GH still having their 50th anniversary font 10 years later.
You know what? At this point, we should just be glad that General Hospital is still on the air and call it a day at this point. I don't think they care about promos and all the other stuff. Well, the only person that cares is Frank Valentini on Twitter.
Because he gets to use his Adobe Plus subscription, which should be running out soon because Nathan Barney probably got him that for Christmas. So
he's going to renew it. He's gonna renew it.
Look, I'll tell you, while he's creating GH's fanfic opening.
Yeah, but you know, Chanel and Allie is the only thing that, of course, Pauline. If that's really the only thing I'm kind of interested in, because everything else is just gonna be like, okay, once Kristen does get called, we got to sit through.
Chloe
is coming. Philip and Chloe are coming, according I'm to happy Maria, for that. So that's what
that's
I'm
the money for. Shot.
I'm praying. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck about Brady and Chloe. No, bring back Teresa for his stupid ass. Nobody care about no Rafe and Nicole either. I want Rafe with Ace.
Especially not with Carly Corinthos in the love triangle. I don't care about Carly Corinthos in no love triangle with Rafe Lopez Fitzgerald and Nicole.
No. Look.
You're going to put some respect on Ava Vitale's name, okay?
No, Tamara Braun and Galen Gearin have chemistry. And if I
they
have
do.
They that do, mother- but I want them. I don't want Nicole in this. No.
But that's what's going to happen because these stupid motherfuckers didn't recast Eric. I'm like, why didn't you recast Eric? Because now she's about to get some type of news from Eric. What do you do? Fuck Serena's sister in Africa. She got.
Oh, not Serena. You Lord, why?
Oh my God, it's so stupid. It was so irresponsible. You went through all this to get this couple together. You got them married. They were married for only a couple months. Okay, I get it. Greg Vaughn bought the contract and he said deuces. And as soon as Greg Vaughn quit, as soon as y'all came back from COVID last summer, you should have been ready to fucking recast. Period.
But not just that, Nicole is going to end up with EJ, like, because EJ's coming. We know he's coming.
Lord, I can't.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't mind that. I just don't want a Rafe child.
Does anybody but Rafe? Like, Rafe actually.
Like EJ and Nicole, so.
There's chemistry. They have chemistry, and Rafe hasn't been getting on my nerves lately, and I credit that to Ava. Yep. So let's
I gotta be honest. Yeah, he really has not been as annoying since.
I haven't posted up that I hate Rafe Hernandez gif in a long time. So yeah, I'm just saying.
But that's what you have to do. You have characters like Rafe that you hate. You have to pair him with somebody that you like, that he has chemistry with, and he's tolerable. So that's why I want him with Ava. Because if he ends up with Nicole, they just gonna be the sanctimonious police. Who the fuck wants that?
Which is wild when you think about Nicole Walker being sanctimonious. Just them in the same sentence don't even make sense.
So she best be careful because Ava Vitale will pop the shit out of her.
And that's why I said, I love Aaron Zucker, but they could have wrote Nicole out with Eric 6 months ago. Nicole ain't did shit but be Maggie.
You don't need back Nicole in the 90s on the show anymore.
When she was running Tuscany. She's being all nosy, and that's where John couldn't stand her ass.
They need to do is recast Eric. Just recast Eric. Hopefully they're doing it on a cool, and none of us know. You know, maybe
they probably are. You know how Days does that, yeah.
But they ain't doing nothing.
Mark Lahal or something like that.
They still on hiatus. Still NBC News. They ass. They ain't doing shit.
Well, seeing as a girl came back today saying that they're back from hiatus, I'm assuming they got renewed and they just haven't said it yet.
I'm praying because she ain't never.
So she dropped that tea. She dropped that tea. If you're back from hiatus,
you know they already left. Days defies cancellation at every turn. They've had their low.
You already know NBC already be itching for an eighth hour of the Today Show. So I'm just saying.
NBC, in my opinion, you know, despite what they put us through every renewal cycle, I think they're pretty comfortable with what they have. You know, they're like, okay, 8 hours of Today, an hour a days of our lives, 30 minutes of news and 45 minutes of Ellen. Yeah, I think they're pretty comfortable.
And that said, I think Ellen being in danger probably was saved Days.
It probably did.
You know what? But see, Days' ratings are trash, like the physical, like watching on TV ratings. I don't know anybody that actually watches it. I stream it like every day religiously. I
do 2D. Yeah.
Like I don't know anybody that actually like still DVRs Days. I know like maybe two people, but everybody else I know. I was about to say you two are the only two people I know. So I'm like everybody else that I know streams it. Like you either you watch it on Peacock or if you cheap, then you watch it on the regular NBC app and keep it moving. Everybody I know.
D, how do you know what people, I do?
Because I listen to y'all when y'all talk.
I'm the regular NBC app person. I'm not paying for that peacockness.
I'm not stupid. The same way I know you don't pay for Paramount Plus. Okay, bye.
No, but that is the one I pay for. That is the only one I pay. I pay for my Paramount Plus, and Tiggs can vouch for me because I let him
That's right, because Paramount Plus is CBS Access, and that's the only thing you used to pay for with your cheap ass. So, yeah, I got you. Never
mind. I was grandfathered in. You all got to pay a dollar more if you get it now, but I was grandfathered in. So
you just got to have friends that have logins. I don't pay for nothing.
And you're welcome.
Okay.
I'll pay for shit.
Netflix or Hulu.
Look, I log in to watch The Young and the Restless, and here's Tiggs' ass watching The Good Fight.
Good Fight is shit.
I love it's The Good show. Fight. Yeah, that's a good show.
You know, hopefully nobody's watched this shit so they find out that everybody out here except for me is bootlegging, but on Allen, because he got his DVR. Allen ain't Allen got his DVR. So
I'm not going to tell you how I watched The Young and the Restless. I'm just not
You already told us.
Are you going to Blogspot, Chaz? You going to Blogspot, ain't you?
We know where you're going. Saying,
if you search YouTube hard enough, you'll find them episodes if you need to get you caught up. That's all I'm saying.
Don't be snitching. We don't be snitching. We don't snitch on this show, y'all.
Those YouTube episodes, they're a mess to watch, though.
Okay.
Don't be messing up people's spots. I better be quiet.
If the Canadians would be posting that shit all the time, I'm like, okay.
You can't know anything. You can't have secrets on The Young and the Restless with the Canadians.
No.
The last time I watched Y&R like online like that, yeah, when I watched the Canadian episode, because when Hillary died, and I needed to see when Devon cussed Lily motherfucking ass out, and I want to see that shit right now. So I
the last time I watched a Canadian one was, I really did for Neil's funeral because I did not want to wait until the next day. I wanted to see all of that.
Yeah.
The last time I watched a Canadian, I was actually in Canada and I was like, oh, this is the shit. So yeah, I'm just like, I was there and I was live too.
I've never watched an Canadian episode.
It comes on twice. No, I'm saying I was actually in Canada. I was in Toronto and I was like, I didn't know The Young and the Restless comes on twice a day here. And then
is it really? Wow.
Yes. And that's how I know that it does, because now I block anything Y&R related. And then I have a whole list of people that I know that are Canadians that at certain times of the day, I turn it off so that I won't know what happened because I don't want to be spoiled.
So like, is one in daytime, one in prime time for them? How does that work?
It's like one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Okay. Are they on the same network or does it
head over? Global. Same one that you know, the same bootleg when you be watching that one.
one time.
You know what? I don't know nothing. I don't see nothing. Y'all ain't gonna say it was me. I don't snitch.
Lord, okay, Shaggy.
I'm just saying it wasn't me. Okay, I'm not blowing up anybody's spot. But yeah,
we gotta wrap this shit up.
You know, I have one TV that gets, you know, just the regular channel. So most of the time, if I'm watching, it's in my basement, right? So I'm working it or it's on in the
background.
In
your basement, what?
You in your basement? Like this cheap ass 60-year-old man and your grandkids upstairs making all that damn noise.
Casey, wrap this up before he...
I need to wrap this shit up, y'all.
He didn't already said he got a bootleg feed and he's talking about stuff in the basement. Time to go. It's a wrap.
Lord, I'm telling you, you ain't gonna catch me down there, Chaz. Baby.
Nah, that's where my office is. Y'all crazy.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is your office.
It puts the lotion on its skin or else it gets
the okay.
Put the lotion in the basket. He's like, I hate it with fava beans.
He got a casting couch down there.
Look, I see this.
What you know about a casting couch, Tiggs? I'm just saying.
He's like, that's how I got my job on GH for 2 months to play the new Jordan.
Shut up.
And at least I'm going to have just a facial expression.
I was waiting for you to say that. I owe myself $20. God damn.
But at least you the original skin color.
Oops.
Hello.
Well, on that note, thank you for another scintillating episode of the chat.
Oh, Lord. Skintillating.
Boy, we didn't talk about gay sex. Gay sex, girl licking. We didn't talk about every goddamn thing on here. Tell me what's not.
There is no other way how I would want to celebrate 2 years of this show.
Yeah. You're just trying to make sure that people forget that you brought up Stressed Off St. John. I see what you're doing.
Lord, you ain't slick.
Oh, Lord in the morning. And I tweeted out, did any of you catch that I've already tweeted out I made a mistake?
I already got you. I said the fuckery that is this podcast. Trust me, if you don't air it, we're going to air you out.
No, it's going to be aired. It is going to be aired. Anyway, so, oh, Lord. Look, I'm losing my mind like Dina Mergeron. Alan, where can they find you on Twitter?
Don't go around stabbing people randomly now.
let me raise my straight voice. You can follow me, Alan Serapa.
You don't even sound straight. Shut up. Sorry.
That was the same voice, Alan.
That's slightly lower.
The lies.
Slightly. The lies you tell. Look, you're like those Young and Restless YouTubers.
I can probably try lower. Okay. Alan Serapa. There. Is that low enough?
You sound like somebody kicked you in the nuts. Okay, but okay, we'll take it. Look,
I'm telling you, he's those YouTube YNR episodes. He's claiming to be one thing, but he zooms in all the damn time. And anyway, Rodrigo, where can they find you, my baby?
You can find me at Rodrigo's World 81.
Wonderful. DD Forrester, where can they find you?
You can find me pissing off Young and the Restless people by suggesting that Devon needs a house that's worthy of being a billionaire at TMZDD. Thank you.
Lovely. Tiggs, where can they find you, darling?
The Bin Master Part 2.
Look at fighting. You finally getting your Twitter name down. I'm loving it.
Fighting with people about Gia Camp.
12 years a slave.
Oh, my God, no. Chaz, where can they find you, darling?
Well, since we're using our low voices tonight, you can find me.
Okay, Marvin Gaye. Happy Pony Driving.
Ooh, Chaz.
I got my top button coming down.
And yet again, I'm the token straight on this goddamn show. Lord, help me.
You talk about Allie and Chanel. It's
like, I can't say I'm the token straight, but she never asked me if I was. But okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What'd you say? We don't know where you at. Where you at?
Oh, I'm sorry. Chaz, at Mr. Tube Talk on you.
Can we catch you in your office?
You're gonna learn when they start going off into their little, when I can like see the hard on and all of their voices. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Chaz, let me tell you'll learn. Something. I season my food. Okay, catch
it. Not catching. He said catching. Go ahead.
He lying like a motherfucker. He don't season his food. Don't let him lie to you.
Make sure you got that adobo. Have that adobo ready, Casey.
He don't use onion powder. Don't let him lie.
Oh, yes, baby. That's my favorite. Oh, Lord. Anyway, you can find me at KCS Hutch. You can find our podcast at @the_chat_podcast. As always, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye, y'all. Get vaccinated.
Wash your ass. Mind your business.
Stay away from Chaz's basement.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We all float down there.
That's funny.